Hi there, it's Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your time. And the extraordinary thing is, as I've been looking at the stats and the numbers, is how many places on the planet we are connected to. You, me, everybody. That this is an incredible time in our history. Not only are we connected, but we're able to learn and explore and find out all the things that we're doing and that we're experiencing, and consciousness, the way it's evolving, is bringing new, I think, areas of interest to our attention on so many wavelengths and platforms through science, through consciousness, the evolution, I think, of our minds, giving us more awareness that there are other beings, other ways of doing and seeing and becoming connected in the world. And this is, I think, an extraordinary time to be present. One of the examples of that, you know, I get into all these different topics, and metaphysics is my favorite, but I also like the other areas, you know, Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, the whole nine yards, because elementals, because that's my experience. Facebook, today, I happen to be connected to one of the people who is has had a wonderful writing history, career covering more metaphysical topics and UFOs, crop circles, that kind of thing. Quote, I'm privileged to be working with Professor Kevin Newth and partners in the scientific analysis of exotic materials that have been in my care for some years. Now, Kevin is the person, one of the people involved in searching for unidentified aerial phenomena, UFOs off the coast of California. I mean, this is quite an impressive group. Anyway, materials recovered from a UFO incident in 1947 in the region of San Augustine, New Mexico, which has been popularly termed, you'll know this, the Roswell UFO incident. Now, did you hear that? Exotic materials that I've had in my care for some years. Detailed analysis is underway, Colin Andrews. This is absolutely extraordinary, okay? Because if you've been following any of this, there have been these rumors of these exotic materials, metamaterials, the mystery metal, and people, it doesn't exist. Well, in recent history, somebody even like Stanton Friedman in his, I think, 5 busloads worth of volumes, material, everything that he left after he died to be cataloged, filed, and archived, there's a little thing that looks like it's a piece of mystery metal. So those kinds of things expand our awareness and make us question, well, what is it we really know and how are we connected? And so I wanted to, that's why I talk with the authors and the people that I do, because this gives us an idea of how we are expanding and how this is an extraordinary time to be present. Earth Speaks Up is the name of the book. And the author, Mary McNerney, is the background. Let me just preset this. She has a law degree from Georgetown, fellowship with the UN Commission on International Trade Law. She worked for years as a corporate and international lawyer in Boston and Prague. Oh, so what I'm doing is the background here isn't something you would expect from somebody who brings forth a book that is best is channeled, is brought, you know, from that intuitive, that connection we have with everything that we sometimes discount and say, well, that isn't practical. And yet here it is, and it's very practical. Hi, Mary. I hope I gave you a proper introduction.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. No, it's a treat to be able to speak with you and your listeners. Yeah, and to share some of the important information in the new book, Earth Speaks Up. And this is a book that just came out a couple weeks ago. It was just published a couple weeks ago by Secret Stories Publishing. And I was so pleased with the response the world is having. It was a bestseller. It came out as a bestseller on Amazon US and Amazon UK, and it's also selling well at Barnes & Noble. So I'm just really pleased that people are open to receiving this new information from our planet and about our planet.
Well, okay, and I say it's unconventional because here you are. You know, this is a corporate world. This is your background. That's where that's your comfort zone. And as a child, yeah, you had the Earth connection, but then you know, making a practical thing of, well, this is what the adult needs to do. And so it was there. And then this first little nudge, I think you said, oh, that's interesting and really cool, but probably not me. But it is after all, it is you.
Yeah,
how'd that work?
Let me share the story with you, Wendy, because I think this story gives other people insight on where this book came from, and also gives us insight on ourselves in what each of us are innately capable of attuning to. As you said, I grew up on a farm in Ohio, so I had an inherent connection with nature and love of nature. But then I followed the traditional path most of us do. I went off to college, and then I went on to law school at Georgetown and had a pretty traditional career in corporate law. Pretty well buried in paperwork and drafting and negotiating contracts and managing business logistics. And then one day I was home from work, it was probably a weekend, and enjoying being out of work and leaving all that behind. And it was a beautiful day out. I was looking out the window and thinking, what shall I do today? Take my husband, our dog, go out for a walk in the woods, or get my horse out and go out on the trails. And as I was idly contemplating my lovely free day, I just happened to say aloud to myself, what shall I do today? And then, Wendy, I heard these words so clearly and precisely: take dictation from the earth. And I knew right away it was the angelic realm. There was no one else there in the room. Mm-hmm. And I was really surprised, as most of us would be. And
yeah.
And then once I recovered from my shock, I thought, well, that's a really profound idea, but probably definitely suited to the more illustrious spiritual people of our time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, like probably you and most of us, I just kind of put the idea in the back of my mind and, well, I don't know how to do that. And pretty well forgot about it until, again, about 6 months later, I heard the exact same thing: take dictation from the earth. And I said, well, I don't know what this means. I don't know what to do, but I'll give it a try. I took a pen and paper in hand and went out and sat on the edge of the woods in our backyard and just sat there. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing. And then, Wendy, all of a sudden, the word started coming, the dictation started coming. And it was initially hard for my pen and hand and mind to keep up with it.
Yeah.
And what came forth, and I continued doing this over, just to make a long story short, I continued doing this over the ensuing months and years. And this book is what came forth. It was all dictated to me, but it wasn't meant for me, just for me. It was meant for all of us, just to be shared with all of us.
Okay. Do you have a year? When did you start? How many years ago?
Well, now I'm thinking, I'm kind of lost track. It's probably, about 7-8 some years ago that I started. Maybe mm-hmm. it was one more. And then I had this manuscript that, went on. I took the dictation many times over the years. And then it's just piling up on my desk. I didn't know what to do with it. But then the universe brought me to other paths and other people that helped bring this book forth into the world. And when it mm-hmm. got to Sacred Stories Publishing, they felt, the editor there, when she saw that, this has to be brought to the world. So,
and it's beautiful. It's called, okay, so The Earth Speaks Up: Dynamic New Perspective on Earth and Your Role Here. And so basically you're talking, you're getting information from Gaia, Mother Earth, about how we are connected. And then there's another group that's involved in this, another source who is also kind of more of a masculine element that steps in and gives you another perspective as we're going through this book.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because it is the earth speaking, the earth consciousness, the earth herself speaking. And she comes forth as a very feminine, a loving feminine voice. And then as I was taking meditation, a group of other speakers would come in from the angelic realm. All I can describe it as, what it came across to me is a group of very wise professors, very sentient, wise beings, who were also coming in and speaking in support of Mother Earth, in support of humanity, helping to bridge this connection between Earth's consciousness, Earth's communication, and our human realm, helping us to link up together in a new way. So it is, well, and they came across as a masculine presence.
I'm going to give you, okay, here's one of the quotes. Now is the time to change your understanding and perception of your world. Once we each change our awareness, everything else changes. And that's Earth speaking.
Mm-hmm.
what you go into with this, I think is a nice way of putting it. And to me, the indigenous cultures on our planet, a lot of them repeat and reinforce your information that's coming through, that conscious connection with everything, with the plants, with the rocks, with the trees, with, you know, the elements. You also get into this with Earth talking about, and you tried to blame her for earthquakes. And it was like, wait, that's different. Cause you, there's a, I love that where it talks about the weather, tornadoes, the wind, the floods, all night. And there's actually something involved in that, that we are participating and we are co-creating. Would you explain that?
You're talking about explaining the, what she conveyed about the weather phenomenon.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crucial.
Yeah. And that was eye-opening for me, too, when it was dictated to me. I didn't quite understand it. I don't fully understand it all now. It's all the process of all of us learning. But what was conveyed to me, what started one time in the early times when I was taking the dictation, it happened to be right after a major earthquake had happened, you know, halfway across the world from where I was, but it was a major disaster. And I asked the Earth about this earthquake. What are earthquakes? What is this happening? And what she conveyed to me is that an earthquake is like a resettling of the Earth's body. Same way as we in our physical selves resettle ourselves. An earthquake is a resettling of her physical self. But that's very different, she conveyed to me, than other natural disasters like hurricanes, tornadoes, those kinds of things which we perceive. And this is the interesting part. Those weather patterns, which we perceive we have no control over, nothing we can do about it. What Earth conveyed to me is that a hurricane, for example, will come forth as the Earth's way of clearing her energetic field, clearing her, what we see as her atmosphere. Because what happens is toxic energies, largely created by humanity, build up in her energetic field.
Okay, now what did you call it? A spitball? Because I thought that was great.
That's what I call it. That's what Earth called it. What Earth described to me, what I asked, what she conveyed, but hurricanes are akin to a spitball.
Uh-huh.
It's the Earth's way of discharging toxic energy. Negative energy, which she can't hold on to. Yeah, exactly.
I loved it. And I think that's excellent.
Yeah. And it's amazing the way, as you read the book, some concepts the Earth convey will be very deep and meaningful and loving, and other things will be quite precise. A hurricane is like a football.
Yeah, big deal.
So, yeah. But the interesting thing is, and this is the key part, that these things we perceive we have no control over, we have no impact on, and nothing to do about us. No, it has everything to do with humanity, because once we recognize that there's ways that we are, of our toxic thinking, our negative energy, our battle energy, our war energy has implications on the Earth and her energetic field, she shows us steps we can take to help her clear that, because all she can do to clear a buildup of negative energy is a hurricane or tornado ever. But if humanity steps in beforehand and works together with her on the energetic level, each one of us to work to do some simple steps to help clear her energetic field before a hurricane is caused, we can minimize the need for hurricanes, for her to do the work herself once we join and link with her. And in the book, there's some wonderful exercises that Earth gives us to show us how we can work on the energetic level and co-create with her to heal her system, heal her body. And it's not separate from ourselves, it heals us too.
Well, and I think part of this is interesting, that the synchronicity, the timing, because in the plays you do with the equinoxes, and the first, I believe, it starts with the winter. I think that was where we started. And I thought, well, isn't that perfect timing for the book to come out? And at first, I think we're looking here, listen to the earth, learn to listen. I'm consistently communicating with you and resonating to you from the earth. And so you're listening to try and basically that's what part of the exercise is, to become centered and calm and try to pick up the energy that is flowing from Gaia, from Earth to us. It's with us all the time. We can't escape it. We're on the planet. It's just a matter of tuning out some of the other overwhelm and the mind, that mental thing that's constantly going, and saying, what else is here? What else is here? And so the exercises are part of developing that fluidity that gives you an like plugging in to the planet. Does that make sense?
Exactly. So this book comes forth really, it becomes a how-to manual in a way, a lovely how-to manual, giving us some exercises to help us learn to reactivate our ability to listen to Earth and to communicate with Earth. Because I'm not the only one that can do that. We all can do that. And that's what this book shows us, that we, as you mentioned, Wendy, some of the ancient societies, older societies, were able to listen to the voice of Gaia and attune to her. And I think one is that the Native American societies worked in that way, co-creatively or conjunctively with Earth conscious presence. And in more recent centuries, we as humanity have gotten sort of divorced from the Earth, separated ourselves from connecting with the Earth in that way. We've gotten more distracted by the material world, our three-dimensional world. We've separated ourselves from the knowing and working with the multidimensionality of the spiritual realm and of our planet and of ourselves that we really are. And this book is bringing us back into that connection.
I think part of it, though, is as we have evolved and our technology has increased and our surroundings are increasingly full of manifest things, you know, material things, then it's easier to become less aware of the change of the seasons. Yeah, it's inconvenient that I have to go scrape the windows off my car and that, you know, all this stuff. But at the same time, like I'm looking out the window and seeing a hawk fly by. I'm in the city. Okay, so I'm seeing a hawk, and we have owls here too. I have one that drinks out of the bird bath. What I'm not connected to, if I lock myself in an office building six stories up, however, there are hawks at the top of that building, I'm not always connected to the nature, the natural elements. And one of the things that I did notice in terms of being connected, when we had a hurricane, I went to help with people who were working with animal rescue, and I went to help. And as we were reaching, I think the energy wave from that assault, basically on that area, I felt these waves coming over me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is from that impact and changing all of the environmental infrastructure, such as the plants, the land, the people who were there, that energy realm. And I was so just astounded that it was so strong and that I felt it, for one thing. And that to me is what, when we didn't have all these houses, when we had more night sky, when we had more nature, we had more surroundings that allowed us to be enveloped by nature, we could be aware of that kind of, I think, dynamic. And that's part of what is still here. We just have to sift a few, sort a few, filter a few things to reconnect to it. And that's what I think this book is illustrating, with Earth saying, this is how you can do it, and giving you a template. And that's what it's very precise, it's concise, it's easy to digest. And that's like, wow, she doesn't mince words. She just says, here, this will work. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, I like the way you put that, Wendy. She doesn't mince words. She just says, here it is for you. And that's beautiful. Yeah. And as you're talking, I'm also realizing and sharing, wanting to point out that it doesn't matter if we're sitting in nature, sitting out in the woods, or in a lovely and nature setting, to attune to Earth. We can attune to nature right here from the sixth story of an apartment building in, say, New York City or whatever. Doesn't matter where you are. You can connect. you can connect to Earth from wherever, because her consciousness is so strong and so pervasive. It's everywhere. Same way as the angelic presences are everywhere. And perhaps it's easier for us to try and attune to Earth if we're sitting outdoors under a tree, but it doesn't matter. We can do this from anywhere. You can take a couple minutes in your office at work during the day and do one of the little simple meditation type exercises that bring healing to the Earth. It's something we can engage with anytime, any place.
Well, you talk about at one point sending light and just, you know, just visualizing a certain space, a certain area, and then focusing on uplifting or elevating or enhancing in some way, refueling that area. That's how I interpret it. And it's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be some ginormous project of, okay, let's go attach to Canada. And, you know, it's just this thing of, where can I put a positive vibe? How can I do this? Mm-hmm. And it's so simple.
Yeah. And the interesting thing that was a point that's continually conveyed by Earth and the angelic realm throughout the book is that when we begin to engage with Earth on this energetic level, then it has a resonant effect. When each one of us does it, it has an effect beyond ourselves because we're working on the non-physical level. We're not restricted by the 3D realm. Our intention, our vibration we're putting forth together with Earth is carried and then manifests. It, like, we're sort of in the, I like to use the example how thought precedes form. Thought is the creative energy. And when you work at that level, it brings forth the physical change. So this book is showing us how to begin working at the energetic, creative, the thought level. And that can then bring forth change in our physical realm, healing in our physical realm. This is where it all begins.
Okay, so what if we have a spitball?
if we have a hurricane. Well, what the book is showing us, though, the exercising book is showing us, once a hurricane has become into formation, there's not a lot we can do. It already exists. It's doing a thing of what Earth has to do to clear the energetic field. But the book shows us there's a heck of a lot we can do before hurricanes come into existence to work together with Earth to clear her energetic field so she doesn't have to bring forth a hurricane. When we start working together with her, humanity and each of us individually start working together with her on the conscious level, she's not left to do it all alone. And that's what's happening right now, is that there's more and more stress on the planet, and she's struggling to try and deal with it on her own. But once we step up and step into our true role, which is really our true role as caretaker of the Earth, once we step into that, everything else changes and we work together with her. And that's what this book is showing us. And I like to use there's something, I think it's in Genesis, in the very beginning of the Bible, it says something like, and mankind shall have dominion of Earth, something like that. I'm paraphrasing. And I believe humanity totally misinterpreted that. They thought dominion is dominance. No, dominion comes from the Latin word domus, which means home. Humanity was supposed to be caretakers of this earthly home, like we take care of our own homes. And we've just gone in the wrong direction. Or this book is coming through to show us, wait, here's the path, here's the guidance, here's the wisdom to get us back on track as a co-creator with Earth.
What I also like about this is you include nature spirits and the trees and the rocks. And I bought just before, like in the last week, there was a gem show here in Kansas City. And one of the things that spoke to me, which was fascinating because I hadn't thought about this, and I work with electricity. So that's part of my nightlight experience, has been with me since 1997. It's still here, but it's electrical. And so what I was guided to was this beautiful little pyrite round ball of pyrite. And I thought, well, why am I drawn to this? And the answer was, because it's a conduit. It helps channel the electricity. I'm like, wow. So then I had to look it up to see. All right, we're going to talk more about the value of connecting with stones, rocks, trees, and other elementals. They're all here. It's a matter of us just being, I think, active, open, and allowing. Because this is fantastic stuff, and it's happening all around us. Again, my guest, Mary McNerney, and the book, Earth Speaks Up. Conscious Living on Empower Radio. We'll be back in a few.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
Hey, Dad, how do you throw a curveball? How do you build a fort? How do refrigerators run? How do fish learn how to swim?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
How high can you jump?
But you don't have to know every answer.
How many phone numbers are there?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
How do cell phones work?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
What's electricity?
They just need you.
What's the moon made of?
For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Packers. Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown. Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Conscious Living of Power Radio. Neither am Wendy Garrett. My guest, Mary McNerney. And this is one of those things that when we're talking to somebody who has had a very concrete, linear life path, and then have a complete shift to going to the more intuitive, imaginal, the realm that is in coherence, I believe, with this earth element, with the nature and the wonder of the planet. It's like, well, wait, how did that work? How? And I do want to get into the talking with the elementals, the trees and the rocks, but how was that shift for you? Was it just a fluid shift, or did you have to kind of reset your life and say, like the hurricane, you know, let's get rid of a few extras here. How did that work, Mary?
I guess it was It was really a fluid shift. It wasn't a real conscious shift, you know, a conscious sudden decision. But the more and more I spent time taking this dictation and working with the earth in that way, and it opened up other doors for me. I began working with our horses in a new way. And the amazing wisdom that comes through horse consciousness mm-hmm. and other aspects of nature just kept opening up to me. As you mentioned, the book shows us a whole new way of looking and interacting with rock, the very foundation of our planet. And so I was working with nature spirits too and connecting to that dimension. So more and more of my time was in my focus was just kept naturally flowing into these other ways of being in our world, other ways of connecting with our world beyond just the logical, rational. And I was just shown so much more of the multidimensionality which our world, which our lives really are. So I couldn't stay my logical, rational, you know, 9 to 9, you know, not, it was longer than 9 to 5 work, you know, what I did those hours. I was just kind of drawn into more and more of this. And then the work I was doing, the company was bought up by another business in Europe. And so on. And so my time there became less necessary. I was asked to stay on as a consultant, you know, but it just naturally one ebbed as the other flowed. And I realized this is just the way, I just follow this way as things are going in this new direction that was kind of just handed to me. And I think once we're open to these new things, it enables more and more of it to flow to us. And I'm not saying that all of us, just because we decide to tune into Earth and work with her in this new way, that we'll jump ship and all go in the direction I did.
No. Oh, well.
But I mean, we all can, but this information and the guidance and the exercises which are provided to us in the book are things that can easily be integrated into your ordinary everyday life. It doesn't require you to go off in the direction I did.
No, that's a part of it. You've laid it out. And so mm-hmm. I was going to jump back in with the rocks, the new skills to learn. This is chapter 20. Mm-hmm. And as mm-hmm. a sound wave moves through space, so do the myriad waves of energetic currents move through and within rocks. And so what I was describing, that feeling from the impact of a hurricane we had, Hurricane Katrina, feeling that energetic wave of all the reaction from multiple levels, I think multidimensional mm-hmm. levels from that assault on the topical area, the region that we consider the manifest physical plane, there's an energetic response. And so being able to connect with that vibration, this talking about the sound waves moving through the rocks and within rocks. And that's what I've experienced in going through different sacred places and thinking that these are the guardian spirits and they're right here within this energy of stone. And that's where you know, this is something, a skill that you can connect to. And that's right there in part of your instructions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll say it's not my instructions. It's Earth and the angelic realm instructions. I was the channel
yes.
for it.
Yeah,
it brings forth, just as you said, Wendy, once we awaken our knowledge to the fact that rocks are conscious beings carrying these amazing currents of energy, which we can connect to and work creatively with on behalf of the planet, it opens us up to perceiving and working with everything differently. And it's interesting for me to hear what you encountered after the hurricane, I guess, because all the energy, everything was all shaken up, so you could really sense it. But we can all kind of tune into that energetic level every day just by taking a rock in your hand and being with it, consciously connecting with it. You will start to feel an energetic current, an energetic mm-hmm. pulse, or some other. Each of us will feel something in our own way. But once we open our minds, you'll definitely feel it.
And I've had different sensations with rocks. I didn't until my husband introduced me to this. He said, "Do you work with rocks?" "No, I don't need that. I do other things." He's like, "Hey." So he took me to a gem show. Okay. It kind of, the energy, I responded to the first gem show. I was so high that I had to hold his hand to make it around because of all the influence I had not anticipated that I was connected with from all sorts of different types of stones. I carried the hematite to help me stay grounded and focused, but it was overwhelming. And it hasn't been that way since I've changed my energy, but there was a difference between normal pearls, black pearls. I had to avoid certain stones because they were really way too loud. And so my experience, this is spot on. This is what it is like. And that's why working with different stones for me at different times has been very helpful. And it's not like it bowls you over and they talk to you, you know, in this big, magnificent way. It's this subtle energy helps infuse you and sometimes protect you or surround you or buffer you. And then sometimes there's information that comes with that. And that to me is basically explaining a little more of the dynamic that can happen for some people as they engage with this other way of knowing. And that's what you're spelling out, I believe, what Earth is spelling out and saying, here, it's available. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to sit in the cave for 10 years. This is how easy it can be. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. And I love hearing the experience you had at the gem show, Wendy. That's really profound and powerful. It just shows us all, wow, what's really here once we allow ourselves to open our minds and our hearts and experience it. Wow.
I had not anticipated that was the first one I went to. Like I said, I was at that point doing a whole lot of higher energy work. And so I was quite, I think, easily influenced. And the thing was that the pearls and black pearls had an energy that was more of a sea energy that was, I would, you know, for me to describe it, it's like mermaid energy and the playful energy and not necessarily in your best interest, because when you're not aware, you can get bowled over in ways that you have no way of protecting or buffering because it's not anticipated. So I learned a few things about different types of energies affiliated with all of our natural elements that are quite, you know, they're very much here. And when you have somebody else who says, hey, let me show you this, it's, we learn so much, like with what you have done. You have taken time, you've taken energy, you've taken the initiative, and you allowed yourself to open up to say, all right, I can be a conduit. I can bring this through. And then it goes where it needs to go. And that's, I think, what we are all experiencing as we elevate our consciousness, and that we can heal our planet, just not in the way that we anticipated. And that is what I think you're connecting people to with Earth Speaks Up. And I'm thrilled to know the response has been so powerful and so positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you just put it so eloquently, Wendy. I love the way you put it. Like, we can heal our planet, just not in the way we have been thinking, not in the way we thought. There's a whole new way. And when you step back, though, and you look at it, it hasn't our understanding of our planet Earth always been a series of awakenings, of new understandings? And like, we originally believed the Earth was flat. That was reality until explorers showed us otherwise. And we believed the truth was Earth was center of the universe. That was reality until astronomers showed us otherwise. And then today, and we hold on to the belief that, or much of our society holds on to the belief that Earth was an inert ball of dirt and rock. That was reality, but now we're shown otherwise. And right now, I think our whole human consciousness is at this next nexus of change, this next new wonderful awakening to see, wow, Earth is this conscious, sentient, and communicating being who needs to engage with me, and I need to engage with her. And once we do this together, everything else changes. Once we each can step up and into this new way of being with Earth, this new way of connecting with Earth and connecting with nature and rocks and elemental kingdom, and recognizing the presence of the angelic realm, all there to support us in this new understanding and this new way of being. And I really truly believe everything can change, and our well-being of our planet can be regrounded and reinforced and manifest in a beautiful way.
Well, the affirmation of that is chapter 23, benefits flow as you attune. And this is a process that begins with you. And that is from the chorus of we. This is a process that begins with you, that beliefs flowing as you attune. So the attunement is when you're talking here about the rocks and the rock formations. And there's a name, because I think at one point Stonehenge is the one that's given as an illustration, but not necessarily as the only focal point. And so could you explain more of what is important about that element?
About the rock element?
The formations, the giant,
the formations. Yeah, what was really interesting to me as this information came forth is that we perceive these things as Stonehenge, or these unusual creations, or there's also these things, which we, the science terms, glacial erratics, these rocks, which are huge rocks, which are placed on top of each other that look like they should fall over, but they don't, and just things that are termed glacial erratics, strange rock formations that no one can explain.
Mm-hmm.
They're not glacial erratics. They are creations of the planet or of societies that preceded ours that were working together consciously with the energetic forces of rock to create, to support the rock energy, to support the earth energy. I think they were created for reasons for healing and supporting the planet or humanity's connection with the planet, supporting that. So all of these things around us, which we don't understand, such as Stonehenge or these balanced rocks, these glacial erratics, when we see those things, to us now it's kind of like a flag to us. Oh, wait, stop. Look, listen, attune, because there's more going on here than you realize. This is important. Attune to this rock. Connect the energy there. Allow it to flow to you. Allow yourself to read it. And allow yourself to perceive all these formations like Stonehenge, and there's many of that kind of things all around the world. Allow yourself to perceive them differently because there's an energy force here you can work with to benefit the earth.
Well, it's like a subconscious billboard because, and I've read this before, that the indigenous cultures, if they wanted to leave something behind, the best way they could do it, the only way, was to set it in stone in some way, shape, or form, put that imprint in stone. And because that was going to last, whatever it had the best chance of lasting, whatever earth changes would come, then these elements were here. And we may not interpret them as, like a linear thing of A, B, C, D, E, but we may have the other quantum element of here are these billboards, these little imprints. And then as we deal with it from that subconscious level, the memory level, the dreamscape, the intuitive plane, we go back and we can pick it up and say, aha, this is what was happening at that time. And this is what we can bring forth and bring forward to manifest now as a way forward. And so to me, all of this works on these multidimensional levels, these other planes of awareness and being that we are being, I think, encouraged to recover, to re-embrace into our conscious knowing at this time, because that's going to get us through some of these very intense and in so many ways destructive earth cycles that are a natural part of the earth basically stretching her, bringing her wings into being, saying, okay, guys, here we are. Are you coming with me? Let's change. And that's what, to me, that's what this signifies, that there is a recipe for surviving and empowering us to make it up, to jump to this next level. Does that make any sense to you?
Oh, I love your analogy to billboards. That's a great analogy, Wendy. Seeing those things, and that alerts us, okay, see things differently. Yep, there's something else going on here. How do I work differently? And you know, as you're talking about these billboards of rocks and rock formations, what it reminds me of, and I like sharing this with people too, is that in a good example of these types of billboards that you've you've mentioned, Wendy, these rock formations, there are a heck of a lot of them existing in Central Park in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And people aren't aware of them because they're not elsewhere around the world. They're really some really huge ones. But there's a whole lot of balanced rocks in Central Park that are termed glacial erratics. And when you walk, if you're ever in Manhattan and have the opportunity to walk through there, see, these are, they look like a rock or two, a giant rock on top of a small rock. And it looks like it should fall over. How come that's not tipping over? Mm-hmm. There's a heck of a lot of those. And I share this example because Native American culture, Manhattan was known as a sacred island. No one lived there. They went there to worship or work with nature, work with earth. Mm-hmm. And that the island was had always been filled with these billboards, these glacial erratics, these unusual rock formations, which were carrying really, I think, amazing energetic forces on behalf of the planet. To help and sustain the planet and to sustain conscious life here on this planet. So that's a good example of a place where this kind of, there's a lot more going on mm-hmm. in the island of Manhattan than we, in our traditional perspective, realize. There's a whole another dimension, and these billboards are flagging us. Wait, stop, look. This is a different place. This is a special place. Work together with it. Work together with this rock energy. Listen to it.
I want to bring through a little one. I had no idea I would ever get into the Bigfoot thing, but I was taken to a place where I thought I was going to see crystals, and the Bigfoot thing happened. One of the deals in connection with rocks is, and I believe they're interdimensional. Other beings are here around us all the time. We don't see them. Our eyes don't tune into that realm. They're here, whether we see them or not, which is the way a lot of our world works. But one of the things that is a signature of those spaces is these little rock formations, and they're small. They will leave. Rocks will be arranged in a certain order or in a certain way. And you know that wasn't a natural placement. And so in terms of, it doesn't have to be big. When we start paying attention to what might be a billboard and then understanding that you can extrapolate that all different areas, and you've learned this is a code. This is a code that we are here and we can program ourselves to connect to bring our awareness to how Earth and those realms are in constant connection and communication with us when we allow ourselves to go to that level. And that's, I think, what your book is a template for, of saying, hey, here's another way to access that information. I just wanted to bring that other element in because it is a very, I think, crucial piece of that connection, saying there's a language here. There's a communication, an intentional communication. We may not have that same verbiage. We don't have the same way of giving, it isn't English. It isn't Spanish. It's something completely different. It's symbols, and the symbols mm-hmm. are what we are mm-hmm. connecting to. And that's, mm-hmm. I thought, well, you know, yeah, they're little elements. And when I was reading your stuff, I thought, my gosh, that's what I have seen in areas where there are indications that there is a presence of other beings. And that, to me, makes mm-hmm. it, you know, more concrete that the other elementals, the other beings, the other dimensionals here among us are participating in this leap forward.
Yeah. I like the way you put that. It's like recognizing there is so much more here than what we perceive in our, we live on the three-dimensional realm, but there's many other dimensions around the three dimensions that we just can't yet see or perceive, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. We just have to listen in a different way, connect in a different way than what we're used to. And it's an innate ability we all have. We're all born with it, but it kind of gets subsumed or lost through our traditional educational process of focusing on the rational and the logical. And now these billboards are coming or reminding us, look at it in a different way. And this book is coming forth to remind us, wait, look, there's more to the world than your rational mind is perceiving. Remember, and bring forth that skill you all have within yourself. And when we do this, when each one of us can do this and open ourselves to that, I feel like this wonderful rush of energy comes in, which enables us to work together with each other and with our planet to support her.
Yeah.
And when we do that, it supports ourselves.
It's fuel. You open that up, that other fuel source.
Okay.
I want to get into, before we run out of time, Earth Speaks Up, the name of the movie. Hey, there you go. That was accidental. Coming. Okay.
It's
okay.
Not accidental. This is so amazing you said this because someone in Germany who happened to buy the book the other week contacted me and said he wants to make a documentary about this.
Excellent.
This was the other week. And here you say the movie.
Okay.
There we go. It's
floating around your thought field, okay? And it's a good float. It's good.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring the horses into it because that's my lifelong. When I was little, before I knew how to draw or what to draw or who to draw, horses, I kept drawing. And I drew one till I got one. They're not in my life now, but the energy is there. And you bring that element. And I think that's also an essential. We only have 5 minutes. So if you could just address that. There are horse people out here who will appreciate hearing it.
Okay. Yeah, I've had horses in my life forever. And what I've been shown what's come forth in them is that it's not just about attuning to Earth in a different way. It's also attuning to everything around us, and especially horse consciousness. Horse consciousness is bringing to humanity this amazing wisdom. And horses chose to connect with humanity in this way and to become our riding partners, work partners, whatever. They chose to develop this relationship with humanity so then they could be in a context where they could begin to bring forth their wisdom. Horse is an amazingly spiritually evolved being and consciousness. And the one thing there's a lovely quote they gave to me, because horses will communicate with each one of us in this way too. But the gist of it was, when you have a horse in your life, it's not about how can I get this horse to, how can I train this horse to do what I want? How can I get this horse to do what I want it to do? The question is, what do I have to learn from this horse? What does this horse have to convey to me? Mm-hmm. Because horses now are also stepping up and wanting to speak forth to us the same way as the earth does and all of nature does. We are here as your guides too. We are here to help you awaken to a new way of being in the world, a new consciousness. And I feel like also, I've also now been been dictated to me through my horse and through two horses in my life right now are connecting me to the greater spiritual essence of horses. And I'm being given, like, I think it's going to be the next, a new book about guidance and wisdom from horse consciousness. So I'm glad you brought that forth, Wendy, just to attune your listeners to the fact that the horse in your life has something more to offer you.
Well, I interviewed Rosalind Byrne, and she is an engineer. She's a professor of engineering. Mm-hmm. And this happened. She fell off a horse and figured out she could hear the horse. It was like all of a sudden, that was it. She wasn't hurt. They just kind of said, okay, it's time. And so I interviewed her, and I thought, and the dynamic, the two of you connecting with that horse element, that horse archetype, that horse in connecting and saying, we are more. We're not just the rider, we're the student, and we're co-creating. And so there's another way of connecting with nature that they have, walking with four, you know, being the hooved animals that they are. That's fantastic. And it's another way of connecting for anyone who has access and is able to, you know, visit or be in connection with horses. This is one more path that is very, I think, responsive, and they reflect back to us how we are acting just immediately. Are you trying to dominate, or are you trying to work together to partner? And I think that's a very also important part of your book. And so book number two, yes, and the movie. Wow.
Okay, there we go. Yeah.
It's a go.
Let's go, yeah.
Earth Speaks Up. What's your website?
My website is www.marymacnerney.com. And the book is Earth Speaks Up. It's available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Sacred Stairways Publishing, or your local bookstore can get it for you too.
So with this next book, are you already writing it, or is it coming? I've only got a minute, but is it?
Well, the Horus consciousness stuff has already been being conveyed to me, and I have a lot of writing about that. But the book is not yet in process. It's been a big deal launching this one.
I know. Okay,
but that
fine.
Probably coming forth. Okay. It's
the cart before the horse kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you, Wendy. It's been a treat talking with you. Yeah.
I appreciate your information. I think it's very, very timely, and it's something that gives us a different way of connecting and trusting our intuition that says, it's time, connect, be quiet and listen. And that's what you're doing in this, with this little recipe book. It really lays out. Yeah, it lays out some exercises. So again, Mary McNerney, and I think McNerney, did I get it? McNerney.
Either way, it's people from either way. It's a good old Irish name, so either way you want to pronounce it, it's fine. Yeah.
I love that. Yes, it's all good. It's all good.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. You wanted to know any more information, you've got the website, or you can connect. I'll put some of these links and information on Wendy's Coffee House, the blog. So I'll put some information there too. But okay. Mary, thank you, and keep talking, and give us an update when you've got the movie.
All right. Thank you, Wendy. It's been a joy.
Thank you.